Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about Imam Khomeini's school of thought and his method of spiritual training and development for individuals. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are here talking about Imam Khomeini's school of thought and His Eminence's method of spiritual nurturing and development for individuals. We call this in Farsi, Sirah Tarbiyate Imam Khomeini. In order to talk a little bit about this discussion, we wanted to invite Sayyid Muhammad Hashmi from the Islamic Republic of Iran to talk a little bit about this spiritual development and growth that Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, conducted. So let's go ahead and invite him and start the talk show. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Hashmi. Welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. First of all, thank you for inviting me, and inshallah, I'll be here at your service to talk about Imam Khomeini.
Jazakallah, thank you, Sayyid Hashmi, for taking time out of your busy schedule. You know, one of the things we see, and it's been a while since we've had you on the talk show, but the last time we had been talking a little bit about Imam Khomeini's school of thought. You know, in Farsi it's known as Maktabe Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. So this school of thought, of course, it created certain individuals. It, I don't know if we want to say produced, manufactured, spiritually developed certain individuals, which we see, you know, were a critical part of the movement of Imam Khomeini. Yeah. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about this, you know, Sirah Tarbiyati, this method and these ways of spiritual growth and development in the school of Imam Khomeini. We hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Inshallah. Thank you very much. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To talk about the, as you said, Sirah Tarbiyati Imam Khomeini, the school of nurturing and training, spiritual training by Imam Khomeini. Before that, we have a history of spirituality, not just in the religion of Islam. Many of the religions and denominations, schools of thought, they wanted to raise people spiritually. They wanted to give people some meaning in the life. And they wanted to put some of the people, especially those who were somehow gifted or talented somehow, they wanted to give them a direction to the absolute existence, absolute truth in the universe, whether they believed it was a God or anything else.
Right.
In the religions, in Judaism, Christianity, and especially Islam, it also exists. This kind of thriving to reach to God, and you know, on many occasions with many schools of thoughts and many of the mentors and teachers, when you go to them, many of them, I'm not generalizing that, but many of them, they somehow put you, you know, in and they would give you a dilemma. It was like a crossroad. You either choose to be a social activist, to care about your family, to care about your society, to care about your relatives, and be socially active, or choose to be isolated, self-isolated, deliberately isolated, intentionally isolated, not the isolated by force. No, you choose to be isolated so you can be busy just with the spiritual meanings and with the God.
Yeah, some of the ancient Sufi schools of thought are based upon this.
Not just Sufis, even in
mountains.
The Buddhism, we see that in the Shintoism, we say that.
Interesting.
In some schools of Christianity, we say that, especially in the Christianity with the that concept of celibacy and things like that.
This monastic lifestyle.
Yes. And even in Islam, there are so many schools of thought, good people, pure people, mukhlis people.
Yeah,
but when they wanted to talk about the spirituality, you know, they didn't have this idea that it is possible to somehow, you know, put this social life alongside this spiritual life. There is no reconciliation between these two.
Sure.
And
it would almost seem like it's more difficult, right? So if I, as an individual, went, you know, into a cave, or into the jungle, for example.
Yeah.
Now, at that point in time, you only have yourself to fight
yes.
with. Yeah. That's just one battle.
Yeah.
But when you're in society, you have so many different battles yes. that are going yes. on, you know, technology, media,
so many rights that
family,
you're going to be going to violate.
Much, yes.
And, yes, yes, mm. yes, that's true. And this is what they really understood. And right. we cannot easily blame them. Right. They would think that if I really want to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if mm. I want to purify my mind and heart, I cannot live in the business of this society.
Yeah.
It's so crowded.
Yourself.
Yes, you have to detach yourself. Mm. And this was the concept of i'tizal or enziva, the self-isolation. Okay. Despite the fact that every single one of them, when they looked at the teachings of Islam, they would see that the teachings of Islam is flooded, is full of social teachings.
Yes.
Always urges you to go to the society, be with other people, be in jama'ah.
Right.
So it was always so difficult. Why? Ya Allah, we know that we're much better when we're alone. Why you always force us and push us into the society? And many of them, they didn't have proper answer for that.
Sure.
This is why you had, and I think I talked about that before in this talk show. This is why you had this trinity of Sharia, Haqiqa, Tariqa.
Sure, yes.
Because by Sharia alone, you couldn't find the Haqiqa. And it wasn't the Tariqa and the path to the Haqiqa. So Sharia is just a prerequisite for you, for the people who want to take this, to take the step in this
spiritual
radiant path. But it's not everything, okay? And the contradiction was, being mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the same time be in the society. It was so difficult and maybe seemed to be impossible.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So.
And it does kind of seem to be impossible.
Yeah.
It seems, right? Because so you are trying to detach yourself from the world while you are within the world.
Yeah.
So it does.
Is this possible?
Go ahead. Yeah,
of course, it's not possible. Yeah. You know, at the first sight, it's not possible.
Right.
But when we look at the traditions and the lifestyle of the Rasulullah and the Ahlul Bayt, and even the pure companions of Rasulullah, we don't see such a lifestyle.
Sure, this seclusive,
yes.
recluse.
We
isolated.
See some people, yes, some people are more sociable, some people are not that sociable, that's okay. But to choose that isolated life, it wasn't, you know, a recommendation by Rasulullah. La rahbaniyata fil Islam.
Yes.
How can we figure this out? Imam Khomeini here, before I talked about Allah Mutawatir and this concept, and today I'm going to talk about Imam Khomeini, who talked and who established a system capable of doing so.
Right.
First of all, Imam Khomeini has a very beautiful and important philosophical question. I think it's in his book Chahal Hadith, or maybe in Adab al-Salat, I can't recall it now. He says, okay, just let's say that you choose an empty room to pray, and you turn off all the lights, okay? And you focus on your torba. That's done. It's okay. These are the recommendations for a good prayer,
right.
So you can evacuate your mind and you can
detach yourself.
Yeah, detach yourself and concentrate.
Only focus on Allah subhanahu wa
ta'ala. Imam Khomeini says, let's say that you can do all of those things. Can you really release and free your mind? There are tons of concepts, imaginations, other things in your mind.
Right.
Even if you go and live isolated, you have to fight yourself and fight all these concepts and ideas. And the solution that you have to fight them is the same solution that you have to take in the society. Look, Imam Khomeini says, first of all, if we say that the suluk ila Allah is like that, we have to accept that this is just for a very, very tiny portion of the population of Muslimin, let alone the entire world. Because how much How many of people would live like that?
Yeah, with bare minimum, bare bones, and no family, no,
less
wives,
than
no
a person.
Children,
yeah, yeah.
No wealth.
And it's impossible. Yeah. They need their family, you know. We have needs, we have desires,
and we're
social
creations.
Yes.
We're creations.
That's the point, Sayyid, mashallah. Because we were born social creations, we need society.
Yeah.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give us a religion that just gives a tiny portion of people the purpose of life and tells us, okay, if you want to come to me, abandon the society and live in the caves.
Yeah.
This is not the religion of Islam.
Yeah.
And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to misguide people. Yes, live in the society, you're not going to get anywhere. Just some of you will, you know,
the chosen people.
Yes, will get to reach that level. Imam Khomeini says this is not a realistic conception about Islam. If you go back to Islam,
yes,
and just focus on the teachings of Islam, you will find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting everyone to that purpose of the creation. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ. Everyone, every jinn, every ins.
Yes.
This is not just about the prophets or the shuhada or siddiqeen. No. Everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, come to me, every single one of you. And in the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us instructions and directions in the religion, in the society. You want to pray? Okay, go to the congregational prayer.
Yeah.
You want to fast? Okay, you have the Salat Eid al-Fitr.
This congregation.
You have all those gatherings. You have those gatherings and reciting Quran. You want to, visit my house? Okay, go to the Hajj. And in Hajj, you will see every nationality and every, background of the Islamic community.
Yes. Yes.
You can visit and you have to visit them. You want to defend Islamic values, go to jihad. And in jihad, you have to be in a full collaboration and cooperation with other people.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
So Imam Khomeini says that if we look at the teachings of Islam, it's all about the society. In his book, Vilayatul Faqih, in Farsi, I think there is an English translation for that book, he starts to count all of these teachings and instructions of Islam. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion is, if we believe that Islam has a spiritual purpose and we believe that it is so, and Islam gives us the most perfect purpose among all those schools of thoughts and religions.
Right.
And if Islam wants the human being to reach that level, and if we have nothing but these teachings of Islam, so this is the means to that purpose.
Right.
If you want to reach that purpose, you have to take the path of these teachings of Islam.
Right.
And
right.
It's all about the society.
Mm.
So Imam Khomeini, not just, some people just theorize that, somehow give you a conception about that. But some other people, they establish that.
Right.
This is a huge difference.
Right. They actually practically implement
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because maybe you always say that jihad is very good. It's babun min abwab al jannah, okay?
Yeah, unless you're going
but
to
you
fight.
Never go to jihad, yes.
Mm.
You're not able to go there.
Mm.
You cannot, somehow organize a jihad. But if you're a commander, if you are leading others, and in that time and situation, you say, "Hadha al-jihad babun min abwab al-jannah." This is so different. People are looking at you.
Yeah.
People can take lessons from you. And this is what Amir al-Mu'mineen would do. Rasulullah would do. This is why I think the whole purpose of Imam Khomeini was that.
To practically
implement this. The purpose of Islam in the society. After the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because all those tyrannies, they never let Ahlul Bayt to do that in the society.
Yeah, to practically implement Islam.
Even Imam Khomeini, when he defies all those arrogant powers in the world, it's not just because they are arrogant powers. Because this dunya is worthless.
Right.
Imam Khomeini does so because this is the means, this is the prerequisite for all those people, not just Iranians and Iraqis, not just Shia people and Muslim people, the entire world, to feel, to perceive, to understand that purpose, and inshallah to go and elevate themselves to reach that purpose. This is why it is so beautiful, Sayyid. Mm-hmm. In all those many of the lectures and letters of Imam Khomeini, you see that he is talking to the entire mankind.
Right.
Like he says, Mustazafin, all the oppressed people mm-hmm. of the world, not just Muslimin. That yeah. is a very important point.
Yeah, and it's a very beautiful point.
Beautiful point.
Sourced in Islam.
Because Islam, because we believe that Islam is not confined to just some tribe or some race right. or some language. No, it's for everyone. Right. And Imam Khomeini, by that, is showing them the beauty of Islam. So if you live in Venezuela, you live in France, you live in Algeria, you live in other countries, okay. Mm. Look how we defend the universal values, which yes. are the Islamic values. Look how we defend the oppressed ones. Mm. Look how we raise our youngsters, okay? This is, I think, you know, focusing on this concept and implementing that. Mm. This is the Siriya Tarbiyat here, Imam Khomeini. Mm.
The method of being able to yes. spiritually develop and grow certain individuals. Yes. And I mean, and I might be jumping a little bit, but when we look at the students and the people that were close to Imam Khomeini, right, and we see the people that were, you know, spiritually grown and developed yeah. by Imam Khomeini, they had this societal aspect
yes, of course.
That you're speaking about that was practically yes, implemented, yes, you know? Yes. They were among the people, they were active yeah. with the people
Mashallah.
While they were spiritually developing, yes. You know, in that aspect. But being a part of the people, guiding the people, helping the people
yeah.
was a fundamental part of this aspect, whether... I mean, if you know, Shaheed Beheshti or Shaheed Mutahari or Allama Tabatabai,
Imam Khomeini,
all these people were really, if you'd like to continue on there.
First of all, yes, you're right, Sayyid, about all of those great people, Imam Khomeini, Shaheed Beheshti, Shaheed Mutahari, Shaheed Mufatteh, Shaheed Quddusi, all of those students of Imam Khomeini. But I want to say something greater. Mm. What? You know, when we look at the leaders of mysticism, leaders of Irfan, spirituality, you always have a close circle, okay? They raise this close circle, great people, they reach the highest levels, okay. But about Imam Khomeini, the same thing doesn't go the same way with Imam Khomeini. Why?
Is it more general
yes.
And wider scope?
Imam Khomeini doesn't have any khanaqah. He doesn't say, this is my circle, okay. Every day at 8 a.m., come here, I will teach you. No. It doesn't mean that that is wrong. That is right and that's okay. And many of people could reach those levels by that method. Okay. Mm. But we are talking about a new method, and which is not new. It's the method of Islam. Right. This is the method of Rasulullah.
Right.
In that method, Imam Khomeini is raising and training everyone in the society.
The general population.
Yes, he's asking everyone to look at this reality and to live with this reality. This is so important. Imam Khomeini, when first he came to Iran after the triumph of the Islamic Revolution, he started what? Tafsir Surah Hamd.
Right.
Why? This is the same person who wouldn't, you know, at the last 10 years that he lived in Qom, he wouldn't talk about any irfani or spiritual, you know, subject.
Yes.
Because he wanted to preserve something in the current of the movement. But in that time, when the obstacles are removed, and then this is him and the people, he's inviting people to the most precious, most brilliant kind of purpose of life.
Yeah, mashallah.
And I ask every viewer of this show to go and watch. There are clips and films of this the lessons of tafsir. Please go and just listen and look at this radiant face. I don't know if there is any English subtitle for that. I know that Islamic Prophet, inshallah, will do that soon.
Inshallah.
And that is great, Sayyid.
Amazing.
And this is the question. Look, this is the question. Why in public This is not an ordinary that's a tafsir. Why for everyone, for the workers, for the clerks, for the lawyers, for teachers, for everyone. Come to this surah. Because Imam Khomeini, he believed that these teachings are fitri teachings. This is in the very nature of people.
And everybody has a right to be elevated.
Mashallah. This is the Islamic system. Look, this is how Islam trains people.
Mashallah.
So it doesn't mean that you shouldn't have any close circle, inner circle. No, that's okay.
And yeah, those people are, they're special, unique, different capabilities.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that you completely sideline. Yeah. And I don't know, I kind of maybe cut you off.
No,
I apologize.
It's okay.
But what's really interesting is in most of the, and especially, let's say, in the non-Islamic spiritual type things, they are very, closed inner circle, secrets. We don't let anybody know, this kind of, and here is so refreshing that Islam is providing, a general population for everybody.
It's not a closed community.
To reach the ultimate truth.
Yes, Islam is so careful and so, here so reluctant to tell its followers to have this distance between kufr and Islam.
Of course.
But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't reveal the Islamic teachings. Because, you shouldn't live like them. But you can reveal.
And you should reveal.
You should reveal.
When you reveal is when they're going to come towards you.
This is their right.
This is their right.
This is the human rights. Not so what they say. Yeah, to engage everyone with everyone. No. This is the human rights. To give the people the purpose of life, which is in their nature. Okay? And Khomeini is doing that. First of all, with all those the audiences that he had in Iran or other countries. And after that, suddenly something happened. It is a terrible thing. It was a dangerous thing, a very bad thing for us, for Iranians. But it had so many benefits and fruits. And that was the
sacred defense.
Sacred defense.
Defy Muqaddas.
Yes, and the war that Saddam Hussein waged against us in Iran. In that time, all those people who lived the last 10 years of their life, this previous 10 years with Imam Khomeini, with his face, his teachings, his bravery, his spirituality, his tafsir Surah Hamd, now they got to be in a situation that with the cooperation with other people, they can show this the detachment from this worldly life in the society. That is precious. That is important. For you to be in the society, but not be bounded or not be, taken by the society.
Yeah, taken and attached.
Attached,
in the chains of society.
Of society.
The world.
And the best opportunity in that time was this war. Because in the war, what happens? In the war, you're not sure that you're going to go back. You don't know.
Sure, yeah.
Because there are bullets, there are, jets,
probably will die.
Missiles, you don't know.
Become a martyr.
Yes, and so in that time, you will, and this is how Imam Khomeini trained, because you can do that Japanese harakiri and, kill yourself, it's
kamikaze.
Over. Kamikaze, some of them they say that it's some kind of traditional committing suicide. But Imam Khomeini, because he raised those people, they could, find this occasion, this opportunity to really understand and feel the worthlessness of all the elements of this worldly life.
Right.
They could understand that. And this is when, this is what I wanted to get. You can see the real students of Imam Khomeini who maybe never met personally Imam Khomeini, never sat with Imam Khomeini. Maybe in Jamaran for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 1 hour, they could from, 50 meters, maybe they could visit Imam Khomeini.
Interesting.
And they are the students of Imam Khomeini. So Imam Khomeini even changed the definition of the
student
teaching a student
relationship
and the relationship between them. So it means that we have a power now that guides people, gives meaning to the people's life, and changes them, elevates them in a very young age. They were 20, 18. You know, today you see that our 18 or 19 brothers and sisters, you know, they are busy with the PS5 and things like that. I know many of them, mashallah, are doing very well, but in the world, you see, and in, even in the Islamic community. But in that time, you have the will, basiyah, of those people that is full of teachings. How can a 16-year-old person write such a thing?
This is not ordinary.
This is not what you expect from a teenager, even in that time. These are the students of Muhammad. We want to get rid of anxiety, depression. It's really, Sayyid, it's amazing that some of the brothers and sisters, they say, Muslim brothers and sisters, Shia brothers and sisters, they say that we are suffering from anxiety and depression. How? As a mu'min, Muslim, follower of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they say, we don't know what to do with our life. We're broken. We've got nothing. This and that. Look at those people. This is why every time Imam Khamenei, he always says, go and read the diaries of the Shahada. The books about them. Why? Just reading the books? No. It gives you purpose.
Right.
Go and become like them more and more.
If I add here, what's really interesting, and I mean, you can add or subtract as you wish, you know. It seems like this modern day anxiety and depression and, you know, all these kind of increased amount of stress and all these other negative things that we find in the modern world, right? A lot of it, it seems to be due to the over-attachment to the world and materialism. And if you go to the source, I'm pretty sure that this is what the source of this anxiety, even though we might not know, right? And there's a lot of different facets and angles on this, right? So one of the angles is the more you become engrossed and attached to the dunya and the material world, well, the less attached you become to God. And that itself causes problem. This overconsumption, materialism, this also has negative effects. But what I'm trying to say is deep down inside is this attachment that we have to the dunya, which we're supposed to be de-attaching, where a lot of this depression, anxiety, stress.
MashaAllah. Yes, completely true. And this is what we read in Quran. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ذَنْكَ. It's so beautiful. Allah Ta'ala has a very beautiful interpretation under this verse of Quran. Whoever turns away from and abandons my remembrance,
the remembrance of Allah,
he will have a tight life.
Just constrained.
Does that mean that his net worth will come down? No. Maybe he's billionaire or she's billionaire.
But still their life is...
cannot enjoy that.
Is suffocating.
Why? And it does make sense. Why? Yeah, why should I enjoy? Because if this is the only thing that I have, this worldly life, and I see everyone in their 60s, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, they're dying without any obvious, you know, cause. Okay? So why should... how can I be, you know, with the joy, and how can I live in the solace and peace? I cannot. This is the inevitable consequence of attaching to this worldly life. Ala bidhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. Qalb. This is not i'tibari.
Right.
This wasn't made by our mind. This is real.
Yes.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know this reality. It can feel solace and peace just through my remembrance. Allah بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا. It means on this kind of confidence, this kind of calmness.
Tranquility.
Tranquility, mashallah. This kind of tranquility against that kind of depression. You know, everything is tight. You cannot breathe. Yes, and this is what Imam Khomeini would give them.
And he gave it to all the people.
Wanted to give it to all. You know, he presented this to all the people. Yes, some people could get it, you know, others couldn't. But many of people were raised through this idea. Even those people who now, if you meet them, even those that they do not have this kind of mentality today, but when they remember what they had in that time, it is always a very sweet memory for them. There was something, some meaning, yeah?
Right.
In that time. This is Imam Khomeini. This is the revival of a spirituality by Imam Khomeini in our time. And that is so important.
Mashallah.
So important.
Jazakallah, thank you so much, Sayyid Hashmi, for taking time out and visiting us on the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
May Allah bless you. And please, you know, continue. We would love to have you on more talk shows, inshallah. Thank you so much. And Jazakallah, thank you, dear viewers. We were speaking with Sayyid Muhammad Hashmi about the Sirah Tarbiyati of Imam Khomeini, this model of spiritual development and growth, and how it wasn't just specific to individuals, but matter of fact, it was for all of the society in general. Until another talk show, fi amanallah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wherever you are.